Today will be from, sorry, give me a minute. Just pressing accept. So the passage for today will be from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. So, wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. When they see the purity and reverence of your lives, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to adore themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers.
Am I on? Great. Thanks, Celia. And good afternoon, everyone. Great to see you here at 11:15. I'm going to pray as we come to God's word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us, and particularly to husbands and wives now. And we pray, God, for your spirit to help us and give us soft hearts to listen and alert minds to learn from your word. Help us to be clear in what you're saying. I pray that you'd help me to say to express your word and to teach it faithfully and without fear, Lord. And we pray, God, that your word would transform all of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, marriage is one of the most important relationships in life. A good marriage, good marriages, and stable families are really a vital foundation of society. And a good marriage, according to the Apostle Paul, should be a reflection to the world of the beautiful gospel that we believe, of Christ laying down his life for his bride, the church. Now, when a marriage is going well, it's an absolute gift. And it's a blessing. It's a joy for that couple. And yet it is also one of the hardest relationships in life to get right. And in my experience as a pastor, I've seen how devastating it is when marriages go wrong. It is truly one of the most difficult and most painful experiences of someone's life. Now, I've been married for over 12 years, and it's fair to say that we've had our fair share of difficult moments, not too many, but enough. And really, that shouldn't surprise you, because marriage is really the coming together of two sinful, selfish human beings who have usually unrealistic expectations going into this relationship. And part of that, I blame on Hollywood and all those Korean dramas. And I say Korean dramas, my wife loves those Korean dramas. And I mean, look at this guy. Who has those kind of dreamy eyes like that? I mean, no one does. Surely that's makeup, right? This guy is just too handsome to be real. Look how sensitive and caring and romantic he is. Look at this guy. And now, look at this guy. I mean, come on. What chance do I have? I don't even know this guy's name, and I don't like him already, right? I'm just kidding. I think he's all right. He must be a good guy. All the ladies think he's pretty handsome. But this is not a sermon about jealousy. It's a sermon about marriage. And I talk about Hollywood, I talk about K-dramas because they are a reflection of the things that the world focuses on in our relationships, the external things, the physical looks, the romance, the chemistry, the financial security, the, you know, the comfortable home. These are the I guess, the keys that the world says lead to happiness in relationships. But what does God want us to center our marriages on? Well, it is Jesus. Husbands and wives are called to love one another in the same way that Jesus loved his Father and loved us. Now, I know not everyone here is married, but there are good lessons here for all of us. And perhaps marriage is a present reality for some of you. Perhaps it will be a future reality in the near future. Perhaps when we're out of lockdown, some of you might want to get married. And but I make no excuses. This passage is really quite focused on marriage. So we're going to talk about it. It's part of God's word. But I want us all to remember that we're all part of the same church, both married and singles. And so if you're not married, I do want to encourage you to keep listening and to learn from God's word. So it will help you to support and pray for the married couples in our church and all the things that they've got to work through in order to be more like Jesus. So let's get into it. Now, it's pretty obvious. I can't speak about everything about marriage. Please, for the marrieds, go to the marriage workshop that Rev Ying talked about earlier. But I do want to highlight, not everything out of this passage, but highlight. I want to highlight three specific things that I want to bring out of our passage today. And the first, spring up on the screen. Thanks, Charmaine. The word submit is not a dirty word, but it is, in fact, a beautiful word. So that's the first point I want to bring up. Secondly, how the Christian husband should love the wife. So we're going to start at the end. I actually want to go to the end first, and then I'll come back to the wife, right? And so the third point is how the wife should love the husband. So let's think about the word submit. What does it mean? And I think really the word submit is has become kind of a dirty word in our in secular society. I remember a number of years ago, you can turn back to me, spotlight me instead of the slide. Thanks, Charmaine. I remember a few years ago, the Sydney Anglican Church Diocese revised its liturgy in its prayer book for wedding ceremonies. And it wanted to change this phrase where the minister would ask the bride, will you honor and submit to him as the church submits to Christ? And the bride was meant to respond, yes, I'm willing to honor and submit to him. And when word got out that the Sydney Anglicans wanted to change these words, you know, there was outrage in the media. And one commentator said, you know, I am horrified, she said. It's a dangerous concept, especially in terms of society's propensity for domestic violence. So what we have here in this idea of the wife submitting to a husband, some of the secular commentators were saying, well, this really is horrific. It opens up women to violence and abuse. And truly, if that is the case, if that's what submission means, then yes, it is horrific. And yes, therefore, submit, it's not good. But we also have trouble with the word submit because, you know, we as human beings have this tendency to, you know, really say, hey, I want to live life my own way. And there is this kind of restrictive idea about the word submit. How can you say we should submit? How can you say that a wife should submit to a husband? And so the word submit has become kind of a dirty word in society. But I want us to learn that the way that the Bible uses the word submit here, it's not a dirty word, but it's actually a very beautiful word. So verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, "Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your husbands." So note the phrase, "in the same way." In the same way as what, you might be asking? In the same way? Well, if you look back in the verses before, the previous chapter, you'll see in verse 13 of chapter 2, it says there, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority." And then if you look down a little bit further, the word submit comes up again. Verse 18, "Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters." Now, to submit to someone, whether it's our government or to our master, or in our modern society might be our boss, well, that's not easy, is it? To submit is difficult. It's this willingness to put yourself into someone else's hands, to put yourself under someone else's authority. And I think all of us, not just secular society, we find it hard to do that. We find it hard on a number of levels because, one, we are inherently selfish human beings, aren't we? We know what we want, and we want what we want, and it's really easy for us to go about life pursuing the things that we want, and that's in an everyday natural course of our life. And, you know, as Clement shared, that's really what we tend to do. If we don't know God, that's what we'll do, and we still do that. Two, we find submission hard because, you know, we don't want to lose our autonomy. To submit to someone is to say, well, you know, does that mean I no longer live for myself? I no longer belong to myself? Now that I have to live for someone else as well, I need to belong to someone else as well? Well, there's this feeling that we have perhaps, well, I don't like that. I'm losing my autonomy. And that's why, I don't know, when I entered into marriage, I was still living like a bachelor and I wasn't working too well because that's not how marriage works. And thirdly, submission is difficult because there's a risk, isn't there? There's a risk that if you submit to the wrong kind of person, well, what if that person takes advantage of you? And what if that person takes you for granted? And what if that person abuses you and is violent towards you? What happens then? Do I still need to submit? Well, let me deal with that last point first of all, and make it really, really clear to you. You know, the biblical submission, you know, there is no room, there is absolutely no room for any sort of abuse, of any sort of violence in any relationship, not in married relationships, not in any relationship. Abuse and violence is wrong. It is sin. And that is not what God is calling us to hear. And that is not the situation in which Peter is calling wives to do here, to submit to their husbands. And so I just really want to, first of all, before we move on, I want to encourage any wives here, if you're in a situation where your husband is not treating you right, where your husband is abusing you emotionally, spiritually, you know, mentally, if your husband is violent towards you, I want to encourage you to get help. Do not put up with it. Get help. Seek help. And I encourage you to talk to one of the pastors, the Reverend, myself, or Dan. Talk to your GP and get help, get advice. You don't deserve that. No one deserves that. So please get help and please get out of that situation. That's really not good for you. So what then does it mean to submit according to what Peter is saying here in God's word? Well, I want us to draw us back to the passage from last week. Reverend Ying looked at this briefly last week, and I'll look at it again because it's really helpful to help us understand what submission, biblical submission, actually looks like. So chapter 2, come up on your screen in a moment. Thanks, Charmaine. Verses 21 to 25. So it says there, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray. But now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So what we learned here is that the word submit is not a dirty word, but it is in fact a very beautiful word. To submit here is an act of love, an act of intentional, willing love. And Jesus's actions, we're told, are an example for us to follow. So what do we see Jesus doing here? Let's understand what submission is according to this passage. How does Jesus do it? He doesn't use his power, notice. He doesn't use his power, his authority, his strength to serve himself. He doesn't use it for himself, but he humbles himself and he willingly entrusts himself into someone else's hand. And note who he submits himself to. It's in verse 23 there. It says he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. That's who he submits himself to him who judges justly. Now, who is that who judges justly? Well, it's not the Pharisees. It's not to the governor Pilate. It's not to the Roman soldiers. But he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. So that's the first thing that I want us to make really clear is who Jesus submits himself to. It is to his Father. And that is the example we are to follow. As we think about how we submit to others, we follow Christ's example of how he submits to his Father. Now that might result in other actions as we see happening here. So I want us to see next that, you know, see what the motivation is behind Jesus's submission to his Father. What was it? Well, it was love, wasn't it? Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he cried out to God, you know, he saw what was to come, and he saw with terror the anguish. He was bleeding, he was sweat drops coming from his forehead. And what did he say? Lord, if there's any other way, Lord, please take this cup away from me, yet not my will, but yours, he said. Do you see that? I don't like it, but if it is your will, I will go there. I will do it. And that is love. He loved his Father so much, and he loved us so much that he was willing to be unjustly treated, to be nailed to a cross, to be beaten and humiliated. And he did that because of love, because of love for his Father and love for us. So there is full of love in Jesus' submission. Thirdly, now, when we think about this situation here, we get this dilemma, right? I was just reading, well, what does that mean? Look at that incredible love. Does that mean I have to submit to this sort of degree? I mean, look how much Jesus, look how he submitted himself to death. The humiliation, the beatings, is that what we have to endure when we submit to that degree? Well, does that justify wives keeping themselves in that situation, enduring violence because they want to submit? Is that what they're called to do? Well, I want us to see very clearly that the answer is no. The answer is no, because in a good Christian marriage, submission is not just the wife submitting to the husband. But I want us to see first how the husbands ought to treat their wives. So that's my next point. We've learned what submission is. Now, what does it look like now for the husband in this situation? I want us to see that submission is mutual. It's not just one submitting and allowing the other person to have all the authority, all the control in the relationship. No, not at all. But have a look at the command for husbands in verse 7. Sorry, next. Verse 7, skip that. Verse 7, it says there, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. So, first of all, do you see we have the same phrase here? In the same way, in the same way, husbands, in the same way. So again, we are drawn back to the passage in chapter 2 that I just talked about, verses 21 to 25, Christ's model of how he submitted to his father and he did it out of love. Well, that is a model again in the same way for husbands. Christ's example is not just a model for wives to submit to husbands, but also for husbands to submit to their wives. So I hope you see now that in the same way, that phrase appears for both husbands and wives, and submission is mutual, both working hard at submitting to each other. Now, how that looks like, well, that's life-changing, isn't it? Because that's the opposite to how we normally are. We normally are striving for what we want, our own selfish desires, pursuing our own dreams and ambitions. But now it's saying, no, I submit myself to another, where it's no longer just me calling the shots in my life, but now I also live for someone else. I also belong to someone else, and I willingly submit my life to this other person. I entrust myself to them as well for the rest of my life. I live now not just to serve myself, but I live now to serve them. And I do this out of love, out of sacrificial love, not out of my own desire, but I lay down my own desires. I lay down my own ambitions, my own preferences, but I now live to choose to submit to my wife, if I'm a husband, and as if a wife, to their husbands. And so when both husbands and wives are doing this, I hope you see that this really is what a Christian marriage should look like. It's not just, there should never be one person losing out and the other person gets everything and wins everything. But truly, it's both husbands and wives willingly submitting to each other, entrusting themselves to each other, loving each other as Christ loved and submitted himself to the Father and loved us. You know, that is the model. That then looks different, doesn't it? It looks like both helping each other to win, not one winning, the other losing, but both helping each other to win. So husbands, let's be very clear here. There is absolutely no room for domineering, chauvinistic behavior. And, you know, we should never expect our wife to submit to our every need. No, our responsibility is to submit to our wives as well. So how does that look for husbands though? It does look a little bit different to the way that wives submit to their husbands. This is how husbands are meant to submit to their wives. Have a look again, verse 7. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate. Be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect. So you get two very clear commands here. Be considerate and treat them with respect. What does it mean to be considerate? Well, it means you don't just think about your own needs anymore and what you want, but you consider her needs. That's what it means to be considerate. You're considering, how can I use my time? How can I use my energy? How can I lay down my preferences to meet her needs? I want to consider her needs. She is my wife, and I'm considering, I'm putting myself in her shoes. What would she want? What would she prefer? And the second clear command there is treat them with respect. So again, there's no room for chauvinistic, domineering behavior, but treat them with respect. And that means that you're not just discounting her opinions. You're not undervaluing her opinions and her thoughts, but you respect them, you acknowledge them, you listen to them, and you consider her perspective. That's what respect is. You never discount them. Now, because of time, I do want to highlight the other side, and that is for wives. But that's very clear commands for the husband. And please pay attention to that. There's no room for being rude and domineering. But let's turn to wives now. And there's a lot here, actually, 6 verses for wives. But because of the time, I just want to focus on one aspect that's kind of related to all of it, really. But one clear highlight here, and that is that phrase in verse 4. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. So I wonder if you believe that, because we have here this idea of a gentle and quiet spirit that the wife is called to have in their relationship with the husband. A gentle and quiet spirit. It's not just an action, but it is a character trait. So notice it says, this should be that of your inner self. It's part of your inner self. It's part of who, the very makeup within you. It's who you are. It's part of your character, this gentle and quiet spirit. And Peter says this kind of spirit is, it says there, an unfading beauty. It's an unfading beauty. And it's of the next phrase after that, gentle and quiet spirit, says what? It's of great worth in God's sight. So that's what it means to submit to your husbands, and it's something that's part of who you are, that's developing and growing in your inner self within you, becomes part of your character. And Peter says it's an unfading beauty, and it is of great worth in God's eyes. And so I ask the wives now, do you believe that? Do you believe that being gentle and quiet in your marriage? It doesn't mean silent, by the way. because there is that mutual, you know, mutual submission, the husband listening. So you do, your value, your opinions matter. So it's not silent, but a character of gentleness and quietness in your marriage. Do you see that as an unfading beauty and something that is of great worth in God's eyes? You know, it is an unfading beauty. You know, I mean, Peter does mention the external things that the world often focuses on, that not just women, but men as well focus on the externals. We do that so easily. But what really matters is the inner self. There's a beauty that God wants us to grow in and grow, become more fruitful in. And it's of great value in God's eyes. And one of those four wives is this gentle and quiet spirit. Now that's tough, isn't it? That's tough. It's hard to submit. And, you know, when I think about it and I put myself in my wife's shoes, I think, whoa, man, like, that's tough. I mean, why would she want to submit to me? I mean, I'm pretty sure, like, all the wives that I met, you know, in my life, I'm pretty sure I've estimated that all of them were smarter than their husbands. They were all wiser. You know, most, if not all, wives are more organized than their husbands, more efficient than their husbands. And that is very true of my wife. I mean, how could she submit to me? I'm such a, you know, I'm so average in so many ways compared to her. And so I'm so thankful and so grateful for my wife, because yes, we did have our struggles early on, and thankfully over time, you know, the severity of our, you know, arguments and the frequency of our arguments became less and less. And I put it down to this. I really put it down to me realizing that most of the time it was my fault. You know, I'm this proud guy. I want things my way. I want to be right. I like to be right. And I was always pushing for my wife to submit to me. Now, does that sound familiar to you, husbands? You know, do you, probably the wives are nodding, yep, proud, yep, want things your way, yep, like to be right, yep. The wives are sure, they're all nodding. But that's me. I admit that, I confess that. And so I'm at least half the problem. But by God's providence, he gave me this wife, Vicky, and I think together we've worked at it. You know, we really worked at it, at submitting to each other. And as I've worked at really listening and being considerate and paying attention to her, I've seen that she's really worked at, you know, communicating to me in ways that are gentler. And it really does help me to actually listen to her well, a lot better than I used to consider how she's feeling about things, or to consider her opinions. And it works together, both sides submitting to each other, helping each other to grow. And by God's grace, our marriage is great these days. And thankfully, I can see it always improving. And I want to encourage all the marrieds listening in and marriage to be, that don't give up working hard at your marriage. Don't give up submitting to one another. Husbands, be considerate, be kind, respect your wife. And wives, think about how you can be gentle and have that character in your marriage, and learn to submit to each other. And with God's help over time, our marriages will get better with God's help, bit better, a bit better over time, one step closer to becoming like Jesus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do really thank you for a marriage and we confess, God, that marriage is hard. And I want to pray for the husbands and wives here this morning, in particular this afternoon, that you would really be with them, pour your spirit into them and point us all clearly to Jesus and the way that he submitted to you, God, and the love which he had for you and the love which he had for us. Lord, may that motivate us and may that be an example for us to follow. And we pray, God, when our relationships, our marriages are difficult and we struggle and we take our eyes off Jesus and the way that he submitted, Lord, bring us back to that, Lord, and help us, Lord, to truly love one another as husbands and wives. And we pray this for the glory of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend.